Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to. And we have a patron chosen episode today.
Ooh.
Some mumble gore.
Oh, my. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. We are doing two patron chosen episodes this month because we dropped the ball in November. So
sorry
about that. But if you want to vote in the next poll, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/TSDW podcast. Any level gets to vote in these episodes. Pretty exciting
now
stuff over there.
Pretty freaking exciting.
But okay, before we get to our mumble gore, did anything scary happen to us this week?
Great question. God, what a good question.
I need to tell you guys something. This is scary. So we lost our car keys for several days, which is a real pain in the ass. Well, we have a spare set, but the spare set, you have to manually unlock the car. And every time you unlock the car that way, the alarm goes off until you turn the car
on. Feels like that shouldn't be the case if you used a key.
The key?
Yeah, this is what this is for. Stupid car.
I'm sure if I could find the Subaru manual, it would tell me what to do differently.
Sure.
Nonetheless, we've been living in this reality where we turn the car on, the car alarm goes off. Not ideal with young children. Also, when several different people are using our car. So Gloria is a woman who watches Silas in the mornings. She uses the car a lot. she's been dealing with this.
Oh, poor Gloria.
Tim's parents, they use our car to drive back and forth from New York. They're having to have a car alarm go off in the middle of Manhattan. That's not ideal for them. So we were like, okay, we're just going to have to bite the bullet and buy some new car keys. Until today, when Rick, Tim's dad, found our car keys. Let me tell you how he found them. He took boxes out to our recycling and he was like, he's very methodical. Rick is a completist, just like Tim is. He's really committed to doing the right thing. Mm. He is breaking down those boxes.
Oh, yeah, baby.
As one does.
Do you guys not break down your boxes?
I break down my boxes 75% of the time. And 25% of the time, if they're small and I'm tired,
Same.
Yeah, I guess if it's a real small one, I don't do it. But
the big ones, you gotta, because they ain't gonna fit in that box.
It's from, I feel like, working at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Had to break down a lot of boxes at Pete's Coffee. So
Sure.
Have a little box cutter. I kind of enjoy breaking down a box.
I love a box cutter.
I do too. And I've also often lived places where people get really angry if you don't do a very thorough job breaking down the boxes.
Oh, well, sure. Yeah, when you share a recycling bin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the case for us. So he poked his head in that recycling bin, noticed there were some boxes that had not been broken down, went in there, started breaking them down.
Oh my God.
Guess what he found?
Our car keys. In an unbroken down box?
In the recycling, in some like shoe box. And
what?
I really think that it's...
Oh my God.
It's because...
You think Silas did it?
Silas 100% put the car keys in a little box that he found.
Oh no.
And that happened a solid probably like 6 days ago. And
wow.
That box has been... They've just been sitting in the bottom of the recycling.
Oh, thank God. It didn't... The trash people didn't come.
Can you believe that?
Well, and also,
can
thank
you
God,
believe that?
Rick decided, like, well, I'll take care of these other boxes. Like,
can you believe that?
That's the beyond.
That is really above and
that's
beyond.
Above and beyond. Also, it's so funny. I lose things a lot, but the idea that your toddler could have like taken your thing and put it's like that's a level of stress that I can't eat. It's like, how could you ever find anything if a possible explanation is our toddler put it in a small box and we didn't see it happen or know what it could be?
Little children are little magpies that are obsessed with sparkly little things.
Little magpies.
And they just want to collect them and hide them for themselves.
Little fancy sparkly things just for me. Nobody will get these keys.
I really feel that way. And God bless Rick. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, universe. We didn't have to buy new car because obviously we're going to be buying new car keys if that had been picked up. Anyway, that was my... shocking thing that happened today.
Wow.
That is shocking.
That is shocking.
That is absolutely shocking. I mean, nothing too scary happened this week except that we hosted our we do a little annual Christmas party. We got really got on the ball this year, had it early first weekend of December, and I lost my mind with decorations.
It looked so good.
Thank you. I don't want to, and I won't, add up what I actually spent on.
Right,
because
right,
it was like,
right.
I would buy a few things.
Yeah, that's the perfect thing where it's like a $15 thing is not a big deal at all.
No.
And then you buy $115 things.
Oh, yeah. And it's like I would do like a round. I'd buy some decorations, put them up and be like, cool. Now I feel like I need something over there. Okay, let's do another little round. And I would just like kept adding on and on and on and on. And I just because... You know,
how can we make this a tax write off, listeners?
Hey, tax lawyers, tell me if you're IRS,
plug your ears.
It just was like I couldn't stop especially the week leading up. Like every day I would come home with another thing and Joel would be like, oh, more decorations. Oh, OK. Cool.
Where are we purchasing these decorations?
Mostly Target.
Okay.
There's a Target right next to my office. So I would sort of do a little poke around, be like, do I need another little thing here? So a lot of Target, some Amazon, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough not
tough.
To.
I know I'm late to the game on this, but I recently discovered Home Goods. And
Home Goods is great.
Holy shit. It is so much cheaper. I needed a bunch of baskets because we just have so much shit and I just need to put it all in baskets because that's my only storage solution.
Mm-hmm.
Home Goods, $6 baskets left and right. Gorgeous. Wow. Gorgeous baskets.
That is great to know. That is great to know.
But they have so many decorations. And I feel like if I was on a decoration kick, Home Goods would be like the most dangerous place to be because they have endless options and all seem reasonably priced until you're at the cash register and it's like,
they add it up.
Yeah. And when once they add it up, then
once they add it up, it becomes a lot.
It becomes a lot. And more than just each individual cost, it becomes the total cost. And
yeah.
And I spent a lot of money, but I also spent a lot of time and a lot of mental energy on like how to make it perfect. And I will say my proudest pieces are one, I have a listeners may know I decided to take pole dancing classes at one point, and I mean, if you can believe it, I've since very much stopped, but I did purchase a pole and put it up in my house, which it doesn't get used at all, but I turned it into the North Pole and cute. I wrapped it in fake snow blanket and red ribbon and a little like tinsel garland. It's pretty good. And
oh my God.
I built a little I glued a bunch of small cardboard boxes together and spray painted them to look like bricks and mounted them on my wall above my TV to be like a little mantle. And so then I hung stockings from it and I put fireplace video on the TV so it looks like we had a fireplace.
Emily, oh my God.
Oh boy. But now it's like, okay, I did all that. Now I have to, after Christmas, find a place to store it, I guess, or like get rid of it.
It's the storage. It's storage.
Yeah, what the fuck? That gets you. I need baskets.
You know, basements and attics are not just for horror movies. They're for decorations.
They're for decorations. Baskets. I know. I know. Yeah. So I haven't really confronted that part of it yet. I'm just going to try to milk it for all it's worth and have some people over.
Yeah, you got a month to enjoy.
I've got a month. I can even go a little bit into January.
Yeah, take some of that off your plate for right now.
Thank you.
Don't worry about
that. Thank you.
Just enjoy it.
I think that's the sign of being a true adult is once you're storing holiday decorations.
It's true.
My God.
Yeah.
I can like picture all the labeled bins in my attic. Mm-hmm. Like in the day that it'd be like, okay, dad's going to go up in the attic and get all the Christmas decorations out. You know, like that was like a thing.
Yeah. Wow. That is aspirational.
My mom is trying to get rid of everything in their house, and she's been texting me all day the most, I'm sorry mom, I know you're listening, the most hideous holiday decorations I've ever seen in my whole life. She asked me if she wanted me to bring this tree skirt when she comes.
But what's funny about that is like, well, you don't want it anymore, so you must not like it that much. <You know? laughs> It's not your prized and favorite because you're pawning it off.
It's like a felt tree skirt with like cat hair on it from a cat that clearly died several decades ago.
Several decades ago?
Like it has white. When was the last time we had
in the wash?
When was the last time we had a white cat? Not since I've been alive.
Interesting. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah. It's a whole thing, Christmas decorations.
I'm inspired. I want to decorate my house, and maybe I'll be talking about that next week.
I can't wait.
But this week, I'm talking about something very weird. This is a weird one. And the scary thing about it, it's not something scary that happened to me. It is a scary thing to learn something new in your 30s that you've been doing something wrong your whole life.
Ooh, yes. Okay. Yes. I'm sure I've been doing it wrong too.
I want to know.
And I think you guys have probably been doing it wrong as well.
Oh my God.
Did you know
no.
that you are not supposed to rinse the toothpaste out of your mouth after you brush your teeth?
Okay. What?
What?
Isn't that crazy? I don't know. I don't even remember actually where I saw this, but the fluoride in the toothpaste is supposed to be able to like sit on your teeth for about 30 minutes. So you're not supposed to actually even eat or drink anything for 30 minutes after you brush your teeth. You're supposed to let the toothpaste sit in your mouth.
What?
Well, that's good news for my toddler who is certainly not brushing his teeth correctly at all until now. I know he is. Now I know
Look,
he is.
Look, if rinsing it out is wrong, I don't want to be right.
I mean, yeah, everyone can decide for themselves. We've been doing it this way for 30 plus years and it's been fine.
And it's fine. I still have my teeth, you know, knock on wood.
Where did you learn this, Sammy? How did this happen?
I can't remember. It might have been on a toothpaste instruction thing. Like I feel like I was like reading the box of something and got confused, like, what?
You were reading the toothpaste box?
But I can't remember, and I immediately Googled it, obviously. I was like, that can't be right.
Whoa, I just Googled it.
And
you're supposed to spit out the excess toothpaste, but not rinse.
Not rinse.
Oh, what?
So I've been doing it that way now, and...
How's it going?
I can't tell a difference, really.
Seems wrong.
I usually...
What the fuck?
I probably don't wait the allotted 30 minutes to eat or drink, but maybe like 10 or so before I have some water. And I don't know. I just was more shaken by the fact that something that everybody does every day is probably everybody's doing it wrong. And it's really weird to me.
And that the dentist wouldn't instruct you or remind you, be like, as a reminder.
I mean, it must not be that important, because otherwise we would know, right?
Right.
Otherwise we would know. Okay, well, here's the thing. I feel like I learned at some point that you're supposed, like, you'd think, like, wait to brush your teeth until after you have, like, your morning coffee or whatever. But you're supposed to brush your teeth first thing. Like, you're supposed to brush the night away first thing.
Interesting. I do brush first thing.
I brush first thing, but I pretty much I rinse out my mouth with water. And then I almost immediately drink coffee. So
yeah.
I'm like, I think maybe...
I always wait to brush my teeth.
But I'm not going to sit 30 minutes with toothpaste on my mouth and then drink my coffee. That's crazy.
No. It is really crazy. And nobody has to do this. We're not saying...
We're not dentists.
You have to do this. We're not dentists. But any dental hygienist or dentist out there, maybe let us know what you do.
Yeah, what?
And I had a question for you guys. Do you floss before or after brushing?
Before.
I usually do it before brushing.
Are you going to tell me that's wrong?
That one, I think, is user's choice. I don't think there's a clear rule, but maybe there is. But I've always done it after, because I think of it as like brushing is like a regular clean, and then you go in and you detail clean afterwards.
Oh, sure.
But I very much also see the argument for doing it first. You get the stuff out and then you brush it away.
Get it out and then that's what I think. I think, you know, clean it out and then brush it all away.
So, okay, here's a pitch for the dentists out there. How does this sound? Would this be very impressive if I flossed, brushed, flossed again? Wait, shit. How's the toothpaste?
No, you need the toothpaste on your teeth.
Fuck.
So you have to floss first, because then you're supposed to just let the toothpaste sit on your teeth.
Yeah. So I've been switching to first before
brushing. So then when do you do mouthwash?
I don't think you're supposed to really do mouthwash.
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I don't.
I'm pretty sure really that mouthwash is
something. Mouthwash is for like middle of the day when you ate something that like left a bad taste in your mouth.
Isn't there also fluoride in our water? So like we're good?
Yeah.
I'm sure we're good. I'm sure we're good. But it's just interesting to know that those are not the explicit directions.
How could we have made it this far without ever knowing that?
Yeah.
How about it?
Yeah. Pretty crazy stuff.
Shocking.
Shocking weeks.
Absolutely shocking.
My head is
all
blown
around.
Blown away right now.
Oh my God. Henley's head.
Henley's head.
It just blew away. It literally just.
My head is blown away.
Blew off her shoulders.
My body, cool as a cucumber. My head, blown away.
It just. Gone.
I like to imagine it didn't pop. It just blew intact off of your shoulders.
Like a little balloon.
Like a balloon, yeah. Okay, should we get into some mumble gore?
Yes, please.
I guess we should.
I really didn't like the first one of these, so I'm not super amped about the second one.
Yeah, because today we were talking about Creep 2. I'm excited about it.
I kind of am excited, too, to be honest.
It was directed by Patrick Bryce, written by Patrick Bryce and Mark Duplass, starring Mark Duplass, Desiree Akhavan, and Karin Soni. Creep 2 is streaming on Netflix for those who are interested. I love these movies because they're short and I just feel like you know what you're getting into, and they're, I think, a fun time. Your mileage may vary on that, obviously, but I think it's worth a watch if you haven't seen it. Sorry, I got to get Bunk off my lap. He's being...
What are you trying to do?
I think he wants to sit on the chair behind me.
Wants to provide you a little lumbar support.
A little lumbar support.
A little lumbar support.
A little lumbar support. But yeah, I guess we kind of know what we're getting into. Maybe we should do a brief little reminder of Creep 1.
Yeah.
Is a movie where a man responds to a Craigslist ad to film another man for some unknown reason for $1,000 for the day. Shows up, it seems like it's Lake Arrowhead or something in the mountains, and gets asked to do progressively weirder and weirder things. The person he's filming, his name is Joseph, and the person filming in the first one is Aaron. And Joseph says that he is dying and he's wanting to make a film for his son to remember him by, but then just slowly pushes the boundaries of what is an acceptable thing to ask a stranger to do. Starts with having him film him give an invisible baby a bath.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hated that.
Yeah. I think about that a lot. Tubby time.
Tubby time. Pretty weird.
Some other things to remember is he has a wolf mask that he refers to as Peach Fuzz. When he puts the mask on, he's Peach Fuzz. And the first one culminates in him stalking Aaron back to his home and eventually murdering him with an axe.
Not what you want.
It's not what you want. And I wanted to talk a little bit about, and you guys maybe don't share this experience, but I think Mark Duplass is hot. And I want to talk about the, the way that in media people are attracted to serial killers. This happened with, Penn Badgley and you, Joe. Mm-hmm. People were like obsessed with him, and he was doing a lot of tweeting being like, this is not right. Like, you should not be attracted to this character. And yeah. I was feeling that with Mark Duplass in this movie, where I was like, and he's hot. I sign up. I would answer this Craigslist ad.
Oh my God.
Okay. Now see, that's interesting, because it is like, on the one hand, it's like, I actually think that Mark Duplass is hot in an unconventional sort of way.
Yeah.
I think he's an attractive man. Penn Badgley is obviously hot. Obviously. But it's like, are we attracted to the character, or is it a handsome man being scary?
I think there's like an interesting...
That should be a turnoff regardless anyway, right? Shouldn't it?
But there's like, historically, serial killers in prison like always have women that are in love with them. A lot of times will get pregnant with children in like, what do you call conjugal visits? So there's some psychology happening here that I'm interested in. I didn't think enough about it to say anything super revelatory about it, but I just wanted to flag it. Something to think about.
Let's flag it.
I have so many thoughts. All right. One is the most obvious one, which is, I think I could change him.
Yes, I can fix him. I can fix him.
I can change him.
I'll be the one. No one else could do it, but I'm going to rise above the rest. It'll be me. I'm like the special one who will fix everything. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's it.
There's that way of thinking. There's also, though, I think we as a society have been obsessed with centering these serial killers in our stories for years. Why? Why do we make them the central
main character?
And so we're going to be attracted to the person who's at the center of the story anyway, to a certain degree, probably.
Yeah, I think part of it is, just like my attraction to people in movies in general.
It's main it's character energy. They've got serious main character energy.
I mean, honestly, serial killers do have main character energy.
Yeah, I think that's like part of the whole thing.
That's the whole thing. I was just thinking too, if I was thinking about Beauty and the Beast. Not that he's a serial killer, but that energy of like,
some red flags.
And bad, and a lot of red flags.
Yeah.
And I think it is that I can change him. It's a little dangerous. I think there's something to the intensity too of like, oh my God, what if he focused that intensity on me? You know, like, but I think there's something to be like the vampire thing, right?
Yes.
I like the danger, the thrill of like, is it sexy or is it scary? Like, which one is it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And like the tension of those two feelings being like a very horny thing.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, our Twilight episode was a big hit, and the listeners are saying they want to continue with the Twilight series.
Which I would love. I would love to continue with it. Yeah. And I do want to say, since that episode, because we recorded that in August 2021, Joel has watched three of them with me. We have Breaking Dawn Part 1 and 2 left over.
Maybe let's save that for the pod.
Let's save that for the pod. Okay, great.
I would love to do more Twilight.
Because we did a New Moon episode,
right? I would
really
love to do them. We did a New Moon episode. That's on our Patreon.
So we just have to do Eclipse, and then we can bring Joel in for Breaking Dawn Part 1 and 2. I mean, I'd be thrilled. I'd be thrilled to do it.
Yep.
Sign me up.
God, what a fun time. Have you still not seen anything beyond Twilight, Hen?
No, I saw
you
New Moon.
You watched New Moon.
You saw. Oh, great, because we didn't. Okay, but no Eclipse.
But no Eclipse, which, and as no we talked Breaking about, Dawn.
Is my favorite.
Yeah.
And which one's your favorite? New Moon? Is New Moon your favorite?
Sammy's favorite is New Moon.
Yeah. Your favorite's also New Moon, right? Henley?
No. I mean,
as of right now, I like can't tell the difference between the first one and the second one. What happened?
Well,
in the
second one's
one?
A lot more second Jacob. One's Jacob. Second one has very little Edward, which is why I don't like it. There's very little Edward in New Moon.
I thought Henley was also Team Jacob.
I am fully Team Jacob. I am fully Team Jacob, but I'm just trying to pull.
Just he's so wrong. Problematic.
He is so. He is absolutely the worst of two evils.
Even more so than Edward, which is crazy because Edward is also so problematic. But Jacob's worse.
Awful. Jacob's worse. Jacob receives no consent.
Anyways,
this isn't the episode about Twilight, but we will continue them because obviously we have thoughts.
No, but it is related in this like attraction to horrible mm-hmm. people. And again, nothing revelatory to say, but just something to all think about for ourselves.
Let's all think about it
and flag it for further reflection.
Yeah, and let's try to not do it
because it doesn't. You know? It doesn't feel healthy when I'm watching mm-mm. this, and I'm like, kind of want to fuck that guy.
Huh. But it's a common feeling. It's you're not alone. Hmm. Except maybe you're alone in this particular movie because it's literally called Creep.
Am I, Henley? Because let me tell you that this movie has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, and that's the fuckable rating, right?
That's what?
100% of people say they want to fuck Mark Duplass.
that's the requirement to rate it. How much do you want to fuck Mark Duplass? 100%.
100%.
I think this is our first 100% movie we've done.
I mean, there's very few 100% movies.
I was shocked when I saw this. This is not a 100% level film. And again, Rotten Tomatoes, the way that it's...
Rotten Tomatoes makes no sense.
It's not averaging their ratings. It's just measuring positive and negative ratings. So 100% of people... Nobody had anything extremely negative to say about this movie is what that means. Mm-hmm. Which I agree with.
Well, I'm going to sign up for Rotten Tomatoes after this. After this episode,
at least going to become a film critic.
It's a review, yeah. The review score, the audience score, I think was 71. So. Don't worry, Henley. You don't have to sign up.
I'm going to contact all the reviewers I know who have Rotten Tomatoes logins.
Hey, have you reviewed Creep 2? can I ghostwrite your Creep 2 review?
They're clearly not going off of... They mean reviews that were published in publications, not reviewers going on to Rotten Tomatoes.
Unpublished.
No, not reviewers going on to RottenTomatoes.com and being like, A+. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, you've got to get someone to write an article about Creep 2. Yeah.
Okay, well, that I'm going to start doing some texting right now.
Perfect.
Great.
We'll get that going.
Perfect, perfect. I think that's a great use of your time. It has 75% on Metacritic and a 6.4 on IMDb. Pretty standard IMDb score.
Yep.
No budget or gross information because... I don't know if it was released in theaters. I guess I should have looked that up. I didn't.
When did
I'm
it
sorry.
Come out? Did you say?
2017. Sorry. No, I did not say.
Okay.
But they're found footage films. And so I think they're very cheap. I think the first one was around $5,000 to make. So
holy
I'm guessing
shit.
This one is, maybe more, but certainly cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And there's theoretically a third one that there's been whisperings about. I couldn't find any recent news. The last they have commented on it was in 2020, and they said it's happening. But then, you know, some things happened in 2020 that could have changed.
Affected the timeline of Creed 3.
So it's hard to say for sure, but I hope that it is happening. I would love a Creed 3. And in these movies, as in a lot of found footage movies, the script was only an outline. There's a lot of improvisation. The trivia says Mark Duplass and Desiree Akhavan would surprise each other with their choices. And I'm like, that's improvisation. That's what that means.
That's the whole point.
That's what that means. And that's all the trivia I have. Not a lot of trivia for this one. So let's take a peek at this trailer.
Oh, boy.
I'm Sarah.
Hey. Welcome to Encounters.
Sunday morning.
I'm Sarah.
Hey, Sarah, how you doing?
The show where I look behind the strange world of online personal ads. What is their story? Who are these people? So subscribe and join me on this journey. You never know who you might meet next.
Hello.
Ever since I turned 40, I've lost my inspiration. I have no joy.
I'm having a hard time.
What am I doing trying to make the films that I used to make? What if I make a documentary? And this is where you come in.
I have no idea what I'm stepping into.
Aaron, is that you?
You are inspiring feelings in me. I don't know what to do. Oh my God. This is gonna be a good day.
Man, he's so good.
He's great.
I think, I don't want to victim blame, but it's a bad idea to be doing.
It's a bad idea.
Really bad idea. Really bad idea.
I really feel like someone in her life should have been like, no. No to this. Certainly not alone. Certainly not alone.
Not alone as a young woman.
No, a woman can't be alone.
On Craigslist.
In strangers' houses. Can't.
No.
No. No. No.
Did I tell you guys about the time? I think I probably have. But when I worked as a runner for a company like PA, having to pick stuff up, I had to... this is such a stupid story. I had to pick up a Tintin doll, a rare Tintin doll from... a house in the valley. It was like kind of in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there were other houses around, but I didn't know where I was. And it was just like a man that collects dolls.
Yeah, that's not right.
I like knocked on the door and I had called my coordinator beforehand. Like, if I don't call you back in 10 minutes, like call the police. I was freaked out. He had like newspaper on the windows covering so that you couldn't see inside. And I knocked on the door and he answered the door. I said, "Hey, I'm here for the Tintin doll." And he said, "Oh, right. It's in my shed out back."
No, no. Turn around. Bye.
And I was like, "Okay, go get it. I'm going to stay right here." And he did. He went and got it and he brought it back and it was all fine. But I was just like, "You think I'm coming to the fucking shed back there? Hell no. Absolutely not." Horrifying.
Horrifying.
So, yeah. Stay safe out there, ladies and men. I mean, men can hurt men too.
Men can hurt men.
And women have never hurt anybody.
And women have never hurt. I was going to say, women can't. A woman couldn't hurt a fly.
No, let's all stay safe from everybody. Everybody stay in your house.
From everybody. Everybody can hurt everybody. Stay vigilant. Stay vigilant out there. They got the potential to be very, very bad.
They all could be Mark Duplass, the actor.
Even if they're hot. So just be aware, you know, keep that guard up.
Keep that
card up. He's looking pretty hot in the photo you chose in the background, even though he's clearly about to stab you. He's looking pretty good there.
He is looking pretty
hot. I
mean,
he's having a good time and that's...
It's coming through.
It's nice to see. It's nice to see
joy in someone's eyes.
You gotta love what you do.
You gotta love what you do. And that's kind of what this movie's about. It's about him refinding the joy in what he does.
Yeah. Well, what a journey. I want to say I support it, but I might not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should we find out?
Let's find out.
Let's do it.
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge, open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-day blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the U.S., and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem, because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install, so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3-Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3-Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. One last time, that's the number 3daiblinds.com/too scary.
Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay, look, we got to be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you, because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay, and I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it. You know, crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice. And also the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself, because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top quality award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes, variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try. Head to nakedwines.com/too scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in too scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/too scary and use the code and password too scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/too scary, code and password too scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and five-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a five-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? This is such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family-friendly, low-carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready-to-eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary and use code TOOSCARY for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code TOOSCARY so they know I sent you.
All right, you guys, I'm here again to talk to you about Skims, except this time, not about their underwear, this time about their t-shirts. Have you guys tried their t-shirts? Because I hadn't until recently, and holy shit, I have been on the quest to find the perfect t-shirt for my entire adult life. And little did I know, they were just hiding at skims.com. So I have their cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt in kind of this like deep blue, gorgeous color. And it's a very form-fitting t-shirt that's extremely flattering. I've worn it over and over and over again since I got it, and it really holds up in the wash. You can just throw it in the washing machine, holds up, keeps its shape. The quality of the fabric is so good. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt. That one's so cozy, more relaxed. I just am obsessed with them, and now I want all of them. So I will slowly be amassing my collection of Skims t-shirts for the rest of my goddamn life. Anyway, so I really can't recommend them enough. Go to skims.com to shop them, and they're available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that Too Scary Didn't Watch sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
Okay, we begin with a box opening. We can see that there's like a camera inside this box that has something fluffy around it. And from Creep 1, we remember that he sent Aaron a stuffed wolf to his house at one point. So that's kind of what I'm thinking this is. We see a guy opening this, inspecting it, looking freaked out, like he probably knows what's happening. This isn't the first thing like this that has happened to him. He also pulls out a DVD. I think he's saying like, oh, not again, not another one. Puts the DVD on his TV. We don't see it, but it's freaking him out. We're probably safe to assume the DVD is just of him going about his business. And he's watching this, looking scared. And then there is a knock at the door. And he answers it and seems unafraid of who's there. He's like, oh, yeah, come in, come in. I want to show you something. In walks our creep, Mark Duplass. And he sits next to him on the couch and is like, oh, my God, did you get another of these DVDs? Man, you got to call the police. He says, I called the police. They said, you know, nothing. They're not doing anything technically. And so I can't can't, there's nothing they can do. And he asks him if he wants a beer. He's like, I need some alcohol. I mean, can I get you a beer? Creep says yes. We find out
Creep says yes.
He is now going by Aaron, which is gross.
That's so gross. I really don't like that.
Not Joseph anymore. So as the other guy's name is Dave, as Dave walks into the kitchen to get a beer, we see Aaron blowing a kiss at the camera, waving, smiling, having a good time. And he repositions the camera to frame the kitchen table where they sit down and are having beers and talking about this thing that's happening. Dave asks Aaron, what's up with you? And Aaron is Mark Duplass is just so good in this character. He's like, I can't believe you would ask me about myself while all of this stuff is happening to you. You are such a good guy. You're such a good guy. And as this conversation progresses, Aaron says he's worried about them, their friendship. He's like, you're really important to me. And I'm a little worried about our friendship, to be honest. And Dave seems confused. What do you mean? We're good. He's like, I don't know. Just think about it. We were at the same exact coffee shop on the same day, ordering the same exact thing, reading the same exact copy of Infinite Jest. We were fated to, that was like fate. Like our friendship is supposed to be epic. And I don't feel like it's growing to the heights that it should. And I feel like if you're not in this 100% for this to be like the greatest friendship it can be, then I think it's probably best for both of us if we just end it. And Dave is obviously very confused by this conversation, doesn't know how to respond. And then Aaron says, do you ever think about how we met around the time you received your first DVD in the mail?
Oh, God.
And we see some light bulb moment happen for Dave. It's obviously realizing Aaron is not
a creep.
He's maybe a bit of a creep. And Aaron says, I've been filming you since we met. I wanted to make a gift for you of a movie of our whole friendship. And he points to the wolf camera, hidden camera in the wolf, and says, this baby Peach Fuzz, say hi. He's filming us right now. And then he gets a little frustrated. Aaron gets a little frustrated. He's like, I don't know what's wrong with me. This like doesn't even feel fun anymore. Something, it's like, I'm about to turn 40. I feel like I'm losing my inspiration. And we see he has a knife. He's like pulling a knife out under the table and he's shaking his head. Like this barely even feels fun anymore. And it's not even, doesn't even really feel worth it. Swings his arm and slits Dave's throat.
Oh, Jesus.
Jeez.
And as Dave is like spitting up blood and dying, Aaron is just looking really upset by how it's not feeling fun for him anymore. Jesus. He's looking sad.
Oh, gross. Okay. Quick death? A quick death? No, long, drawn out death.
It seems pretty quick. Could be worse. Okay. And he didn't have, like, I feel like Aaron in the first movie really
was, like, tortured for a long
time. Got a very drawn out, horrible, torturous. Yeah, so Dave, it could have been worse for Dave. Certainly could have been better. Certainly could have been better. Could have not happened.
Right.
Yep. Now we cut to a YouTube video of a show called Encounters, hosted by a woman named Sarah. She's explaining that in Encounters, she answers Craigslist ads and films just the kind of weird people asking for someone to come massage their head and like sing a lullaby to them, all sounding like very bad ideas, all men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We see now that she's filming herself as she's watching one of her old videos, and she's upset because it only has 9 views.
Not worth it, girl. Not worth it, girl.
Not worth it. Honey, let's find something else to do. And she's really disappointed in this. And she says, I think I might be deeply untalented. I thought I had a gift for seeing things in people and seeing loneliness in people and being able to relate to them and just find new and interesting things about people and had a gift for connecting with people, but doesn't seem to be translating. I guess I should just quit doing this. She's feeling really down and out on her YouTube channel.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. Quit.
Yeah. Maybe let's quit.
Try something new.
Cut to her next morning, talking to camera, saying, sorry, I got a little dramatic last night. I've had my coffee. Now I'm feeling better. And I saw a new ad that looks interesting. We're going to try this out one more time. We see a Craigslist ad that says $1,000 for the day. Honesty and emotional bravery, a must. Fans of Interview with the Vampire, a plus. Sign me up.
I mean, I'm liking the way this sounds.
Let's go deep together. She texts the number that in the ad and says, I'm interested.
No.
He writes back, do you scare easily? She says, no.
I mean, that question makes me go, well, never mind.
Never mind.
Even if the answer is no, the question indicates this is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would never in 1,000,000 years do this.
Never in 1,000,000 years. Not in 1,000,000,000,000,000 years.
We cut to her driving. She says she's driven 3 hours to get to where he is. So it again looks like Lake Arrowhead. It's like similar, if not the exact same location. I don't think it's the exact same house, but same area. And she arrives and says to the camera, this is something I normally wouldn't do. You know, far from home. And this guy is not giving me a lot of information, hasn't really filled me in on the details of this job, but the things I've been doing haven't been working. So maybe that's why my show has been sucking. And maybe this will be make it better, be interesting.
Hey, maybe the show just ain't it.
Maybe I just need to be murdered and then the show will do well.
Maybe I'm not being completely fucking reckless enough with my health and safety. Maybe I'm not being
stupid enough. Huh.
She walks up to the house. Door is open. She walks in and is looking around. Doesn't seem like anyone's there. And then we get a loud blender jump scare. Mm-hmm. We see Aaron making smoothies. He, I think it's important to note, has a small ponytail.
Mm-hmm. That is important.
And he pours a smoothie into two cups, hands her one. Again, I'm like, I'm not drinking that. And she does. And he does also, to be fair, they're both drinking the smoothie. She saw him make it and pour it. But already I'm doing the calculations of like, and in true Aaron / Joseph / creep fashion, he says, haha, it's poisoned.
Very
hilarious
funny.
Joke. And she introduces herself as Sarah. And he says, he looks at her for a long moment, says, that's your real name, isn't it? She says, yes. He says, I can tell. Thanks for that.
Wow.
And he asks if they can start with a hug.
Oh, no.
They hug each other. They sit down and he's asking her a little bit, what's your story? And she tells him she's a wedding videographer.
Hey, go do that. That sounds really fun and safe.
That sounds way safer. Lots of people at weddings.
Lots of people at weddings.
To keep an
Love
eye on everybody.
A lot of witnesses.
Love a lot of witnesses. So after she tells him that, she asks him, what's your story? What's, you know, what's your deal? He says, I am what people would refer to as a serial killer.
Oh my God.
It's like, I don't love that nomenclature, but that is, he's like, I think of myself as a murderer, but technically because I've killed 39 people, I'm a serial killer. But I'm about to turn 40 and it's kind of sent me a little bit spiraling. I'm having a crisis. I feel like I don't trust my instincts anymore. I'm scared that I've lost what makes me great. Like killing people used to just bring me so much joy and it felt like almost a religious experience. And now it just kind of feels like a job.
Oh my God.
I love this honesty.
Yeah. I'm excited to see where we go from here.
He says, but then I read something by Francis Ford Coppola.
I thought you were going to say Francis McDermott. That works too.
That essentially blew his head right off.
Blew away like a balloon.
Blew his head away. And it's a quote from Francis Ford Coppola that says, I have not made an original film since The Conversation in 1974, and I'm not sure I'm capable of it, but I really want to keep trying. And this has been a very meaningful quote to Aaron. He says, why am I trying to make the films I used to make? Why don't I just embrace where I'm at right now and make a documentary about my life of like one of the most prolific unknown serial killers? That's where you come in. I'm like feeling inspired to make something new that I haven't done before. And I know that I just threw a lot at you. So if you want to bail, I understand. No hard feelings, but I really hope you stay. But if you're in, I need you to be in 100%. There's no turning back once we start. So what do you say? She says, I'm in.
What? Any follow-up questions?
Yeah. From Sarah? What do we think her...
No.
No.
At this point, I'm like, is she just saying whatever she needs to say to like survive this moment? Right. Or is she really in such pursuit of like an interesting art story that she's willing to risk it?
Not good.
Wow. Okay.
So she says she's in. He says, I can promise you two things. I will not kill you over the next 24 hours. That would be counterproductive. And I will give you deep personal access to my soul. And together we'll make magic.
Does she say after 24 hours?
Not over the next. Yeah, right. Like, and when that time is up?
We're clocking that for sure. That there was a time missional. Yeah. But now we cut to him showing her the tape of him killing Aaron. That Jesus. Is the end of the first movie.
Jesus.
In the tape, he's wearing the peach fuzz mask and he has an axe and it's from a distance and it could be faked, I guess. I mean, it is. It's a movie. But I don't know. I feel like I would take his word for it.
Yeah, I'm buying it if I'm in this situation. Which I wouldn't be in a million years.
In a million years. And as he's watching himself approaching real Aaron with the axe, he's singing, I might look like a big bad wolf. And then he turns back and looks at her and says, but I'm as friendly as a rabbit. Oh my God. Really creepy. And he finishes showing her the video, says, what did you think of that? And she says, I think it's interesting. And this like could be an interesting movie. And he says, did it scare you? And she says, did you want it to scare me? She's not like falling into any of his expected reactions. And you can tell he's like fascinated by this. And we're unsure of if she's actually interested, if she's just figuring out that that's something that might throw him off. We're not sure. But they are two people in the middle of a creative rut and they're interested in each other.
Anything can happen when you get those two kinds of people together.
Nothing could be higher stakes than refining your creative voice.
He says, I'll be right back. And we get her first moment alone. And so she like in the camera says, what the fuck? And is panning around the room. We see the axe above the fireplace and it's really quick. He comes right back. So we just get a moment of like, we at least know she's freaked out, yeah. But playing it very cool. He comes back just in a towel. And he says, he stands in front of her and he's like framed in the frame, full, a full body shot of him in the towel. And he says how men in locker rooms can, you know, like hit each other with towels and it's very playful and fun. And like women have a good time with each other in the bathroom. It's like a bonding thing. He's like, but between men and women, there's always a barrier to the intimacy, to that sort of intimacy, because somewhere in you, you're always wondering, what does that person look like naked? And I will admit, I have had that thought here today. And oh my God. I think it would be best if we see each other naked and just get that out of the way. She's like, how do you feel about that? She says, yeah, fine, good. And he drops the towel. We get full frontal Mark Duplass.
Oh, shit. And then 100% of people want to fuck him after this.
Yeah, this is when they all wrote the articles. They paused the movie and they were like, 100% is the best movie I've ever seen.
Nothing negative to say.
And he's clearly trying to freak her out, obviously. And he's seeing that it's not having that effect. So he stands there for a very uncomfortably long time, just naked. They're just looking at each other. I timed it. It is 40 seconds.
Wow.
Feels very long. And then she says, okay, is it my turn now? And he's very thrown off by this. He's like, what? And she's like, hold the camera. It's my turn. And he sits down looking very confused and films her strip all of her clothes off. We don't get full frontal of her, but we do see her boobs, but he zooms in on her face as she's undressing. And then we see her just staring back at him, looking completely unafraid and unfreaked out.
Great. Good for her.
Hell yeah.
And she's like, all right, let's start making the movie. She excuses herself to go to the bathroom and we get her first little talking to camera. And she says, okay, obviously, like every red flag I have is up.
Yeah, like when he told you he's murdered 39 people.
Yep.
It's kind of one of the, I wouldn't call that a red flag. I would call that.
Calling the police.
Yeah, like a giant billboard, a big red billboard.
Yep. She says that she thinks he's harmless, but he might be dangerous. She's like, clearly doesn't believe him that he's.
Yeah. I mean, she must think that he's like a sociopath, but maybe not one who's killed people.
Yeah. And so she's like, I'm not an idiot. She shows us she has a knife in her shoe.
Yeah, that'll save you.
That'll save you. And she's like, I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to continue on. So we at least see that she's not running for the door. She is here of her own choosing.
That's not good.
I will say it's refreshing to see this dynamic.
It's really fun. Mm-hmm. It's very unexpected.
Mm-hmm. It's fun to see someone be unfazed by a serial killer. I love to see that.
Yeah, it is fun. So she comes out of the bathroom. He jumps out at her, big jump scare. She doesn't flinch. I went to a haunted house this October with a friend who has no jump reflex or like scare reflex.
Whoa.
It's so interesting to me. And she also does not
have
one.
I didn't know that was possible.
I know.
Like what does that mean?
I have an outsized large one. I screamed every single time, even if no one was jumping out at me sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Is it a full freeze like reaction? Is she just frozen or is she just not
she just
bothered?
Looks calm. She just she just doesn't get startled. She's like, okay, are you ready? And he says, oh my God,
that's so weird.
He's like, tough nut to crack, huh? And she notices a bald spot in his beard and asks him about it. And he says, he's kind of weird about it. He's like, that's just my beard pattern. Guys' beards grow in different ways. Don't worry about it. Then they head for the door. They're going to go outside to film something. And he jumps, scares her again. Still doesn't get her. He's like, really? Damn. He's like, all right, I'll get you eventually. She says, we'll see about that.
Mm.
Cut to them driving. And he is wearing the peach fuzz mask as he's driving. And is asking her, so how do you feel about this mask? And she's like, well, as a passenger, I don't feel great about it because I feel like you probably can't see very well. But other than that, I think it's a cute mask. And he's like, don't you think it's kind of a scary mask? Like the wolf? She's like, it's like a cute wolf mask. And he's like, what if I told you I was a naughty wolf? And she says that that could be scary if he was a naughty wolf. And he says, what if I told you at the end of this road, I was going to cut off your head and snuggle fuck it?
Ew. Ew.
Haven't heard the term snuggle fuck.
No, no. Mm-mm.
Don't love Mm-mm. it in this context.
Not in this context.
It's definitely in the same universe as Mumblegore, though.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Snugglefuck, Mumblegore.
I can't remember how she responds, but she's not as freaked out as she should be. That much is certain. Mm-hmm. So they get out of the car to their, he's picked out a filming location that he's excited about where he wants to do his main interview. And he gets there and it's next to a river, but the river water level is way lower than when he scouted it. He's really upset, freaking out like this is not going to be good. Like, God damn it. This like the movie's ruined. We don't have a scene here. And Sarah says, Aaron, and he looks over at her and she goes, Coppola. She says, what? She says, Francis Ford Coppola. What would Francis Ford Coppola do? And he gives her a look, like a nod, and damn it, Sarah, you're right. And he rethinks the scene, and they figure it out. He sits in the water for the scene. It's a very strange choice, but he seems pleased with it. There's a lot of a sound happening, planes flying by, birds chirping. He's getting very frustrated with the audio quality. He gets up and goes to take a break. He's gone for a while. So Sarah goes to look for him and hears grunting in the woods. She's looking, you know, the camera's panning left and right in the woods. We're really expecting a jump scare here, but there wasn't one. But she's just hearing this groaning sound, follows it, and finds him laying face down in the dirt, just groaning. And she reaches and holds his hand, and he says, don't leave. They hold hands, cut to her back at the house. It's nighttime now. She's talking to camera. She says, Aaron has been playing the same song on repeat for 2 hours. He's in a really fragile state right now. I'm going to go talk to him. He like hasn't been wanting to talk to me. I'm going to go try to figure out what's wrong. She takes the camera with and goes and sees him, finds him sitting in a hot tub, blasting this song. She pauses the song and or like turns it off. And he says, put that back on. And she says, why? And he says, because it's my favorite song in the world. And I need it because I love it.
Wait, it was the person. Wait, what's the song that someone we just came out that it was someone, the wife was really upset that their husband kept playing. Fuck, what was that
Stephen
song?
King. It was Mamba Number Five. Mamba Stephen number King's five. Wife almost left him because he wouldn't stop playing Mamba Number Five.
She's asking him questions and he's telling her, you don't want to know my story. He's also telling her she should leave. She says, I'm not leaving. You said once we start, we can't stop. There's no turning back. Like, we're going to figure this out, Aaron. So she's like, tell me your story. Tell me your deal. And she's filming him as he talks about when he was a teenager, he was at this show and really loved the band. And it was the first time he felt like he belonged. And he was outside with them after the show. But then they had to leave to go to another town because they were touring. And so he hitched a ride back home. And the guy that picked him up, he said something that I'll never forget. As soon as I got in the car, he said, today's going to be a good day. Ugh. He says that the man took him to the middle of the woods, beat him within an inch of his life, made him dig his own grave. He's like, and as he was doing this, I was thinking, I should really not like this. This is not a good situation, but I loved him. He was magnetic. He took control of the situation. I was inspired by him, but he wasn't very good at tying knots. So I was able to get my hands free. I strangled him, watched the life leave his eyes, and realized that that was my destiny. And wow. I laid there next to him all night long, and it felt like a spiritual exchange. And I lied to you earlier about my beard. It's actually a condition called trichotillomania, which is when you pull out hairs. And one of my victims had that. And I since my spirit consumed his spirit, I now do that. He's like, each of my victims, I take something from them and incorporate it into my own spirit.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And he's looking very upset as he is telling this story, because it used to be such a beautiful thing and now that thing is gone, and that's why I'm sad. So you really should go, because tonight is going to be a very bad night. Ugh. She sets the camera down filming the jacuzzi and gets in with him in all of her clothes. Starts massaging him. He's moaning and grunting in pleasure, resisting it at first, but then kind of looks like a little baby in her arms as she's massaging him.
Wow, this is a fascinating woman.
Fascinating.
She goes to take a shower. He grabs her camera and is saying, "You're making me feel things I thought I would never feel again. I don't know what to do about it." And he films just a big knife on the floor and then carries the camera with him as he goes to the shower. And he's reaching about to pull back the curtain when she jumps out at him, big jump scare, with tape all over her face. You know, when you can like tape your nose up and make a funny little weird little face. She has tape all over her face. She scares him really good. He falls over. They're both laughing. She's like grunting over him also now. It's just really not what you thought she was going to do.
No, no. Uh-uh. They're a match made in heaven, maybe.
I know. It's romantic.
Is this a rom-com?
This is the problem. This is the problem. This is when I'm like,
this is the problem.
I can fix him.
Mm-hmm. All I need is some tape on my face.
Easy.
Easy peasy.
Match made in heaven.
They are later talking. She says, "Is there a part of you that wants to kill me right now? Like, be honest with me." And he's like, "Well, yeah, of course. Like, I'm a serial killer." Like, duh. But then we wouldn't be able to have all the fun that we're having. They're in playing pool now in a little billiards room with a fun castle looking wallpaper in the back. And she's interviewing him some more and saying, "Do you feel remorse for the victims that you've killed?" And he says, "Sometimes, but not really, because I think I give my victims like a lot of fair warning. And if they wanted to leave, they could have. And so, not really."
Oh, my God.
And he describes how with his past victim, we know is Aaron, he called him Buddy. He says, "When my last victim, Buddy, I left a big axe out in front of the front door when he entered so that he would have to see this like huge weapon. And he didn't say anything about it. And then I killed him with the axe." And so that's on him, essentially.
Oh, my God.
And Sarah says, "Does this mean you're going to kill me with a blender?" And he smiles and says, "I've never thought about that as a weapon," which is a fun little reference to your next Another Mumble Gore film. Mm. Then we cut to them back in the house in the living room, and she is pouring him some wine, and we just hear him in the background being like, "Where's mommy's juice? Mommy needs her juice." She pours him a big cup of wine, hands it to him. He says, "This better be a couple of wine." And
that's funny.
She asks him what he's been thinking about, and he says, "I was thinking about a book I read called The Journalist and the Murderer." She's like, what's that book about? And he says, "Oh, it's about the moral quandary that a lot of journalists face, where you have to lie to the people you're interviewing, kind of flatter them or flirt with them to gain whatever you need for the article they're writing, or if they're making some sort of YouTube show, like something called Encounters, maybe," and reveals he has seen Encounters. And he says, "First of all, I want you to know everything's okay and I'm not mad."
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And he says, "Be honest. Do you believe that I'm a serial killer?" And she says, "No." He says, "Okay, why not?" And she says, "The stories you've been telling are ridiculous. And why, if you were a serial killer, why would you have me film you confessing everything?"
"Because you're going to kill me."
And he's like, "That's a good question." She's like, "I could go to the police tomorrow." And he's like, you won't go to the police tomorrow, because tomorrow I'll be dead, because tonight you're going to kill me." She's thrown by this. He runs off, goes and gets his peach fuzz mask and the axe, and comes back and lays on top of the table with his head hanging off the edge, hands her the axe, and is like, okay, just chop off my head now. And the axe is sharpened, so it should go right through. There's barely any bones in the neck, so it should be pretty easy. Ugh. She obviously doesn't do it. He's annoyed and has to figure out another way to die in front of her. And so he hangs up a noose and is on the little second floor balcony about to jump off. And he's explaining to her that because you're standing there filming, you'll at least be if you won't kill me, you'll at least be an accomplice to the murder. And he jumps and he's like, choking, getting strangled. And she freaks out, runs and grabs him, pulls him down. And it cuts to her like furious now, putting her shoes on, getting ready to go. This is what did it. And he comes up and says, Sarah, did I freak you out by hanging myself? And he shows her that he was wearing a harness and he was never actually choking. And he says, I want to make your show the best show it can be. It's going to be make such a good episode of Encounters. And he says, am I a murderer? No, of course not. Am I a sociopathic, pathological liar that's completely disconnected from humanity? Yes.
Oh my God.
But I think you're incredible. Oh, and I want to continue making this movie together. And she's back on board.
Wow.
She smiles and says that we'll make a pretty crazy scene. So they're having fun again. And they go back into the pool room and they're playing. She says, let's play two truths and a lie. You say three things. One of them is a lie and I have to guess which one. And he thinks about it. And he says, I was born 3 months premature. I've never slept with a woman and I can hold my breath for 2.5 minutes. And she says, I think it's the breath one. He says it's number two.
Oh, no.
And admits that he's never been with a woman, never even kissed a woman. And she says, can I kiss you?
Oh, we God.
Can, you can be your first kiss. And gives him a very, I don't know, it's like a sweet kiss.
Yikes.
He's got a big smile. He's like, wow, that was incredible. And she's asking him, like, how have you not had a kiss before? This is crazy. And he says that he had a psychotic break when he was 14. And so he was institutionalized for a lot until he was 19.
Was this before or after? I guess that must have been after he escaped the serial killer.
Great after, question.
Yeah, after, I think. She's clearly feeling sympathy for him in this moment.
That's a mistake.
Now we see they're running around in the woods again, having fun. She's jumping out at him, scaring him. He's absolutely delighted by it every time. And he gives her the necklace that he had given to Aaron in the first movie. That's a photo of him and Aaron inside of it, like a little heart pendant. And it's like, I'm sorry, I didn't have a chance to get a photo of us to put inside of that. You were quite a surprise, but I just wanted you to have this. And we see he's leading her to a grave that he has dug.
Oh my God.
And he's like, I thought of the grand finale for the episode. It's going to be really great. We're both going to kill ourselves and die together like Romeo and Juliet and die in this grave. I have like dug our grave for us.
My God.
And we see he grabs the camera from her and is filming her now. And she is expressionless, essentially. Just, I guess we know from her previous actual relaxed face that she is terrified in this moment. But she mm-hmm. is trying not to show that. And he shows her knife. She like reaches down to her ankle. He's like, no, like, this is yours. I got it from you when I fell on you when I was hanging myself, snuck it out of your shoe.
Oh my God.
So she has no weapon. He's filming her face as we just hear a bunch of stabs. He stabs himself like 8 times.
Oh my God.
And hands her the knife and is like, I can't do yours. I love you too much. Like, you need to stab yourself. Hands her the knife and she runs. She darts away.
Oh my God.
He's running after her and he's bleeding out, but he is still pretty fast and he catches up to her and gets her, and we hear more stabbing. And then we see her being dragged into the grave, and he's talking to the camera now. He's like filming himself do this, and we see the wounds in his, it's like in his side essentially. And he's like, I don't think I'm going to die from this. And I feel pretty bad about it because the whole thing was kind of my idea. But, you know, Sarah, you did it. You made the best episode of Encounters there ever was. I'm so proud of you. And I'm bummed you're not going to be here to see it. And as he's talking to camera, we see her crawling out of the grave, grabbing a shovel, moving very slowly towards him as he's saying, Sarah, you were my muse, my Coppola. You inspired me. And she slams him in the head with that shovel. Blood like sprays onto the camera. She hits him very hard and runs away. And the camera falls, cut to black. Come back up. Streets of New York. Looking at a crowd walking by a subway station. Camera zooms in. We see Sarah looking a little different. Time has passed. Her hair's different. And not sure what's happening, but cut to the camera filming her on a subway from across the seats, like someone is sitting across from her filming her. And she looks up into camera, cut to black, end of the movie.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that is 100% movie.
It's honestly, it is so funny. It's really very funny. It's interesting because honestly, by the time we're getting to the end there, I felt myself being like, you know what, Sarah, you gotta die. Like, like just being like, I cannot believe you're still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I didn't feel that way about Aaron in the first one. I felt like Aaron was really trying to like not be a part
Aaron
of it.
Aaron was, yeah, pretty consistently trying to leave.
And I appreciate Sarah's strategy, but she did not take the situation seriously enough.
No. No, she did not.
She was deluding herself. She reached a point where she was like, I have to believe he's not a serial killer because otherwise this is too scary.
Well, and just being like, I have to make this YouTube show.
I know.
It's like,
I know.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And I mean, she does a great job, this actress. I feel like there's a way in which that performance could feel completely unbelievable, but she really does make it feel real. Desiree Akhavan. And I was very intrigued by her performance because it is having to do so much with a lot of silence and communicating things with her looks. And there is like clearly an attraction between them. And it's just this very interesting little character study of these two people in a weird place in their lives that you can kind of see how she's getting caught up in this, even though literally everything is saying run far away. It was a very unexpected dynamic. I knew that in Creep 2 it was going to be a woman, and I assumed it was going to tread a lot of the same ground that the first one did. And I think it's very fun that they went this direction with it.
Yeah, it's cool that they found a way to make a sequel that does feel really original from the first while still maintaining like the same vibe.
Yeah. Francis Ford Coppola would be proud.
He
would be
I wonder if he's seen it. He should.
Probably. I wonder.
Have you guys been seeing all the Martin Scorsese on TikTok? Martin Scorsese's daughter is on TikTok and posts a lot of videos of him. It's pretty funny. You should look him up.
How old is she? Don't say 12.
Not 12, but she looks.
She's his daughter or granddaughter?
Oh, maybe granddaughter. I don't know. She looks. Gen Z.
I just hope she's. That's his. I mean, how old is he?
Old. You're right. It could be a daughter easily.
But they're pretty fun little TikToks of him doing silly TikTok stuff, like dances and answering questions about what does dab mean. Like that kind of stuff. Pretty funny.
I'm trying to, he's 81. And it doesn't look like he has grandchildren. So
no. I mean, yeah, it wouldn't be shocking. I feel like
no, it wouldn't.
Al Pacino. Sorry to bring that up again, but he's a new dad. We don't need to get into that right now.
I'm disappointed in my TikTok algorithm that has not fed me these Scorsese videos.
You got to check it out. Got to search for them. Fix that algorithm problem.
Thank you. Get that
in the mix.
Sammy, thank you for telling me about Creep 2.
Yeah, thank you also patrons for picking this one. The poll was all sequels, and Creep 2 won by a lot. But there's some other fun sequels on there that we will do eventually. And we'll do another poll probably for next week's episode. So stay tuned on Patreon for that.
Also, Martin Scorsese does have grandchildren, but I do think these TikToks are his daughter. I just did some brief, just real brief Googling in case anyone was going to get mad, being like, he does have grandchildren. Anyway, what also has Mark Duplass been up to since this? You know, I feel like he's always doing something.
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't seen him.
What are he and do he and Jay still make stuff together? What are they up to?
Jay was in Industry. He was great in it.
I do love him. I love a pair of talented brothers.
Where's all our sister creative teams?
Yeah, what the hell?
That's a great question. Are there literally any?
I can't think of any. Why do brothers like to work together so much and sisters don't? Why come brothers like to work together and sisters don't?
Why aren't the sisters working together? I mean, our friend Kim and her sister have produced things together.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There you go.
But we need to get them extremely successful now. We need them to be Duffer Brothers level.
Women everywhere need them. Yeah, we got the Duffer Brothers. We got the Coen Brothers. No, they don't make things together anymore, but whatever. We got the Coen Brothers. We got the Duplass Brothers. We got the Safdie Brothers.
It does.
We got the Voltaggio Brothers. My favorite successful brothers.
We've got the Heim Sisters.
We've got the Williams sisters. We got Venus and Serena.
Oh my god, we've got the Williams sisters. We have the Knowles sisters. I mean, they don't work together, but they do each have success.
Same the Williams. Yeah.
I mean, they used to do doubles.
Yeah.
But it's the Heim sisters that's the peak. That's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need more of that.
Mm-hmm. We need more of that.
And also in film and television.
And in film and television. More sisterhood.
Sisterhood.
We need it. God, we need it.
Oh, Mark Duplass is on The Morning Show.
Oh, right.
Oh,
interesting.
That's right.
I'm tempted to watch
it, but I'm tempted. I am also tempted.
I've heard it's so bad that it's good again.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard the same thing.
I don't mind a soapy big drama like that. Like, that sounds fun to me.
Yeah, I might check it out. And now that I know Mark Duplass is in it.
John Hamm is in the newest season, so I'm into that.
One central strange thing about The Morning Show is that Reese Witherspoon is supposed to be this young spunky,
I know, it's
like,
really funny.
New, and she's the same age as Jennifer Aniston.
We love you, but yeah, you guys are peers. So yeah. That's pretty strange.
Yeah.
Pretty strange choice.
You didn't have to make it that way. Like, you didn't have to.
No, you literally made it up. You made up the show and you could make it something different.
No, but I mean, the entire show could,
all the power.
The entire show could be exactly the same. They just need to stop referencing the fact that she's like an up and comer. It's like she could have just been doing whatever. Anyway,
she could have like career pivoted and just be like new.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sure that's our only note on the show. Other than that,
I think that's all I've got.
I think it's perfect.
But I'm definitely interested in a potential romantic storyline between John Hamm and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, that's
a hot couple.
That's fun.
So I'm into that.
Also, Greta Lee is in it. Oh,
so good.
Greta Lee is great.
I love Greta Lee.
What? Does Greta Lee have any sisters?
Great question. And why aren't they writing and directing movies and television?
Hey, I'm just going to throw it out there. People with sisters why aren't you working together?
Just get it together.
I mean, I guess technically, I have a sister.
You have very different interests.
So I guess we got to start a production company.
Yeah.
No, we're going to start a production company.
I think you have to.
We literally have to.
There's no two ways about it. That's just
for the good of humanity.
That's right. That's right.
We gotta do it.
Okay, I love you guys.
Oh, okay.
Well, this was a delight.
This was a fun one. I had a great time. Glad you guys enjoyed it as well.
We didn't even sing Creep once.
Hope that Creep 3 happens. Fingers crossed. And no voices. I thought I could maybe do a jump scare goodbye. Like I say the phrase and then you don't know when I'm going to say goodbye.
Sure.
Oh, I like that. I'll try to be really not expecting it. So hold on. I need to put other things in my head. Like, I'm definitely not going to hear the word goodbye. Like, one thing's for certain is that that's not a word I want to hear right now. I'm getting in that headspace. Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
So from all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch. Goodbye.
She did it.
Honestly, pretty good.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you like the show, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And if one episode a week just is not enough for you, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast to become a patron and receive all sorts of extra goodies from us, including bonus episodes, trailer reactions, and more. And no matter what, we will see you right here next week for another episode. We love you so much. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.